Broke out sick, and you see the all the bare spots. That's not a division in the church. They're just sick. Amen. I can't tell you who all sick. Man, there have been so many texts to my phone. There's a lot that's been sick. So remember them that's got maybe flu, maybe COVID, maybe just what I mean. Listen, you say, well, you can get it if you listen. If you're living, you can get it anywhere. Walmart, Dollar General, your workplace, anywhere. None of them places are essential. This place is essential. There's hope in here. And this morning, man, I tell you what, Sister Denise, you've done a fine job picking out them songs. Because he lives. Glorious day about him being born. And my text this morning has come out of Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 23 about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, that just touched my heart. Man, I thank God for that this morning, don't you? Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 23. And I want to share this with you this morning, that God is with us. God is with us everywhere we go, everything that we do, every place that our feet will trod, God is with us. He made sure of that when he sent his son Jesus. He made sure of that when Jesus ascended to the Father and sent down the Holy Ghost, that God would be with us all the days of our life. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we read in reverence Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 23 this morning. God is with us. And the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Let us pray. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord God, I thank you for the songs that were sung this morning. I thank you for the spirit that's in this place. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are here today. I thank you for the ones that couldn't come today. Lord, I pray you bless both real good today, Father. Lord, I pray right now that you move on this service. You move on this sermon. Father, I pray that you move on your people this morning. For that one that's there that really don't know if God is still there, Lord, I pray you show them this morning that you've never left them. You'll never leave them. You're right there. Father, you're always right beside us, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you this morning that you're not my co-pilot, but you are my pilot this morning. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue, guard my throat. Let me preach, thus saith the word of God. Father, as I've studied this word, I thank you for what you showed me in the scripture. And if somebody in here this morning is looking for a way this morning, Father, I pray they look to you. You are the way this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. Be with the ones that are sick. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. God is with us. Here as we get here in the text, we see that the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." That being interpreted is God with us. As we see here this morning that he said God will be with us, he didn't take long to let us know that God is with us everywhere we go. I want you to look with me in the text, if you will, in chapter number 2, how he starts off that God is with us. I want you to know this morning that the angel of the Lord came and announced the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and they says you call his name Emmanuel. Folks, this morning we ought to have a hallelujah for that. Amen. That God's not going to leave us. He's not going to desert us. He's not going to back out. He's not going to take a vacation. He is always with us everywhere we go. He said, "Preacher, can you prove that this morning?" I can, in three different instances, in chapter number 2 and in chapter number 3, how God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. You say, "How can you, preacher?" Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 2 and verse number 12. I see that God was with Joseph when he needed to go another way. Hey, God was with Joseph when he needed to go another way. I may be talking to somebody this morning. Hey, you're looking for another way. You're looking for a different way. You're looking for get off the path you're on and get on another path. Look what he said here in Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 12. "And being warned of God in a dream that he should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country, and they went another way." I see that God was with Joseph when he needed to go another way. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I see in verse number 12, he was warned of God. Anytime you're starting to go the wrong way, I want you to know this morning, child of God, God will reach down and he'll warn you. He'll give you a warning in your life when you're going the wrong way. Hey, I want you to know Joseph was almost going the wrong way. Hey, but God looked down and he said, hey, don't you go back that way. There's an old Pharaoh over there. Oh, Herod, he's over there. He's wanting to kill your son. He is the king and he's not looking for another king. And if you go that way, he tells you he wants to worship, but he's not looking to worship Jesus. He's wanting to kill Jesus. And you know what he did? He warned him in a dream. He said, don't go that way. That way is dangerous. Don't go that way. Get off that path. Get on the path that I tell you. This morning he was warned of God in verse number 12. But I want you to know it's one thing that God will warn a child of God. He will warn you and tell you don't go that way. But you got to be willing to listen. Hey, I want you to know when God speaks to you and he warns you about the path that you're on and he tells you to go another way, you got to be willing to listen. You got to have ears to hear. You got to be willing to listen to what God says. And in verse number 13, here's what the Bible said. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word for Herod. He said, what do you mean, preacher? He said, I want you to stay where you're at until I bring word and tell you to leave. I want you to stay there in that safe place. I want you to stay in your safe haven. I don't want you to leave. He was with Joseph and he'll be with you and I. Amen. Hey, he was warned of God. He was willing to listen to God and he went when God commanded. Now this morning I want to ask you, when has God gave you a warning and he said, you need to go another way, don't go that way? And when have you been willing to listen? And when did you get up and go the way God told you to go? Look what he said in verse number 14. And when he arose, how long did it take for him to get up, Brother JD? As soon as he come out of that dream, as soon as he came back to where he needed to be, he got up and arose. And I want you to know here, he didn't go by himself. He grabbed his family. He grabbed his whole family. He didn't leave them there. He grabbed his family up and took them with him. I want to say to you this morning, mamas and daddies, hey, don't let your kid go one way and you go another. Hey, you all get on the same path. Go the same way. Go the same direction. Go to Jesus. Amen. He said this morning God was with Joseph when he needed to go another way. He was warned of God. He was willing to listen to God and he went when God commanded him to go. When God says arise, get up and go. God may be telling somebody right now, stop and go another way. Stop and go another way. He said, preacher, what do you mean? I wrote this down. I want you to get this. Going another way. Saved person, listen to me this morning. You're going to know what I'm talking about. Going another way saved his son's life. There's some daddies in here I'm talking to. Because you've chose another path and you're not with the world no more and you're with God and you're lined up with the Holy Ghost and you're doing what God's called you to do and you've been born again, now you're going the right way and your kid don't have that generational curse on them no more because Jesus Christ has broken that in your life, he has broken in their life, and you're going the way God has warned you to go. I want you to know this morning, going another way saved his son's life. You never know when you go another way the impact it will have on somebody else. I want to say to you this morning, it'll have an impact on your family. Amen. It'll have an impact on your family. It'll have an impact on your church when you start going the right way. When you start going the way of God, it'll have an impact on your family. It'll have an impact on your church. It'll have an impact on your community. It'll have an impact on your home. I'm talking about this morning. It'll have an impact on your marriage. It'll have an impact on your children. When you go the way God's told you to go, it will impact everything around you when you go the way God has told you to go and go the right way. Amen. Man, I tell you what, when you get lined up with God and go the right way, you'll go the way that God's told you to do. I want you to know it won't be long. There'll be other people in your family that'll follow right along with you. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I sure do. Man, before I got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, not one person in my household went to church. Not my mama, not my daddy, not my sisters, none of my aunts, none of my uncles. Nobody went to church. We were an unchurched family. We had nobody in our family that went to church. Nobody went to church. But I want you to know, when God reached down that day and saved me and washed me, it ain't nothing more than his regeneration, what he does in a person's life, how he reconciles himself back to God. He takes that person as lost. He warns them which way they're going and puts them on the right track. Amen. You ought to be able to fix somebody if you're going the right way. And it's turned things around. Because when God warned me to turn, Brother JD, I called on the name of Jesus and I turned. I mean, Brother Riley, I was willing to turn and I was warned of him and I done what God told me to do. He said, preacher, you believe that? I believe that. Man, I got to lead my mama to Jesus. Got to lead my mama to Jesus. Man, we went on a mission trip this year, and we got down there, and I was talking to the pastor, and I got telling him who all everybody was. I said, that's my wife, that's my sister, that's my daughter, that's my son. I just got telling him who all everybody was. That's my nephew. Just got telling him. He said, my goodness, does your whole family go? I said, that's the first person I witnessed to was my family. I'll never forget the day I got saved, Brother Roy. First person I called was my brother-in-law, Derek Northington. I told him, this man, listen, I got saved last night. Call my daddy-in-law, I got saved last night. Call my mama, let her know I got saved. When God told me to go another way, I wanted everybody to know which way I'm going now. I'm asking you this morning, God is with us. Has he allowed you to go another way? Has he allowed you to go another way? You never know who it's going to affect when you start going another way. But let me say, it takes courage to go another way. It takes a backbone to go another way. It takes courage. It takes a backbone. It takes a man of God to stand up and say, we're not doing that. We're not going that way, and it's not going to happen. We're going to go the right way. We're not going to go the wrong way. I got a little nephew. He's about 16-year-old, not yet 15, and he hunts on my land that I own. And, man, we have put out corn. We put out deer feeders. We put out deer houses. We've done everything under the sun. And every time he goes hunt, he calls me. He says, Brother BJ, can I go hunt? Every time, he disrespect. I said, you sure can. He called me one Wednesday night. He said, I'm going to go hunting this evening. I said, you make sure you're out of that wood by 6 o'clock. We got church tonight. You said, preacher, that ain't none of your business. I say to you, it is. Can I get an amen? We need to raise a generation up that knows that the house of God's open and they need to be there. Amen. Hey, he calls me on Sunday. Can I go hunting? I said, as long as you're at church by 9:30, 10 o'clock, you can go hunting. But don't make me come in them woods where you're at and get you. Don't make me come in the woods. Don't you kill a deer at 9:30 and got to drag him out. You make sure you got plenty of time. You said, what are you doing, preacher? I'm warning him that the old devil will entice you and want you to go a different way. But you need to get on God's way. You say, you talk to him that way. I sure do. He's my nephew. I love him. I want him to go the right way. Are you serious? I'm serious. Let me show you this in the text, Brother J.D. Boy, man, I'm so glad you're sitting on front this morning. He says this God was with Joseph when he needed to go another way. But look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 3. I see God was with John when he was preaching and preparing the right way. Not only when he was going another way, when Joseph needed to go another way, but he was with John when he was preaching the right way. Look with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way. There it is. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. You said, what did he preach, preacher? John preached change in a person's life. He said, when you get on the right path and you go the right way, there's going to be a change in a person's life. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 2. John preached a change. He preached repentance. That there's repentance that a person changes. And saying, here's John, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached change. And John preached confession too. He said, not only you change, but you've got to confess your sin and you've got to confess Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. I want you to look with me, if you will, in verse number 6. Not only did John preach change, but John preached confession because he was preaching a different way. Look what he said in verse number 6. And were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. I see not only did John preach change, not only did John preach confession, but John preached Christ Jesus. Woo, boy, ain't that good. John preached Christ Jesus. Look with me in verse number 6. And were baptized him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Here it is. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that come after me, that's Jesus Christ. He is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. John preached Jesus. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. I see this morning that God is with us when we need to go another way. He'll be the one that'll put you on a different path. He'll be the one that'll turn you and get you to go another way. I don't have enough sense to turn and go the other way. I don't have enough sense to turn and go the other way. It takes the Holy Ghost to heaven to turn a man. It takes the Holy Ghost to heaven for a man to repent. It takes the Holy Ghost to heaven for a man to be saved, to turn. Can I say to you, when you prepare the way and you start going that way, it's going to be God that does that. He'll get you to go another way. He'll prepare the right way in your life. But don't you look at something else in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Not only was God there, but God was with Jesus all the way. When he turns you around and he puts you on the right path, he'll never leave you. He'll be with you all the way. I don't know about you, but that does something in my life. To know he's with me all the way. So, preacher, when was he with Jesus all the way? Look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Just what John had told him. There's one come mightier than I. Here's what he said in John 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he says, suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was with him. He said, preacher, when was he with him? He was with him at his birth. He warned Joseph, carry him another way. He was with him at his birth. Can I say to him, he was with him at his baptism. You say, how do you know that, preacher? He said when he was baptized, straightway out of the water, heaven opened, the Spirit descended, and a voice from heaven said, well pleased. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said that he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. It wasn't a dove, it was like a dove, harmless and helpful. And what Jesus needed to know that his Father was there. He was with him at his birth. He was with him at his baptism. Can I say to you, he's with you at your birth. He's with you at your first birth. And he'll be with you at your second birth. He said, preacher, at second birth, what are you talking about? Marvel not that I say you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter his mother's womb the second time? And Jesus said, oh no. That that's born of water is water. And that that's born of spirit is spirit. So what are you talking about, preacher? It'll change a man when he's born again the second time. It'll change a man when he's born again the second time. I see he's with him at his birth. I see he's with him at his baptism. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. I want to show you this. He was with him at the Beatitudes. Me and my daughter got talking this the other day, me and Kaylee, and she said, Daddy, talk to me about the Beatitudes. I said, baby, let's read the Bible real simple. Beatitudes just means this is what your attitude ought to be. You don't know what that Beatitudes is what your attitude ought to be. He said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Jesus was there, and he told his people, God was with Jesus, and he told him, he said, this is what my attitude ought to be. I don't know about you this morning, but when God's with you, you're going to have the right attitude. Amen? You say, how do you know that? Let me show you this in Matthew 5, verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want to be filled this morning? Get hungry and thirsty. I've learned this a long time ago. You can't feed somebody that ain't hungry. And you can't give nobody, you can't make somebody drink that ain't thirsty, physically. But that applies spiritually too. If they're not hungry and thirsty for the word of God, you can't give it to them. But if they're, I've learned this, you take a man, woman, boy, or girl that's hungry and they want to be filled, you can't give them enough. They always want some, amen? Look what he says here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I love this one. My wife always calls me a people pleaser. She said, you like to please people. And I do. Y'all, everybody in this room, a lot of us do. Now, a lot of us has got an attitude. This is. I care less what they think. And there's a lot of people has the attitude, the more they can stir, the better they like it. You ever seen somebody like that? But what does the Bible say about a peacemaker? That when you see trouble coming, and you see it coming, and it's festered up, and you know if you use the wrong word, it's going to get more festered. Hello? And what do? You try to make peace. I got some mamas in here, it's peacemakers. Give me some hands up in here. Peacemakers. You don't want to see it go wrong. You want to see it go right. I got some daddies in here that are peacemakers. You know why? Because here's what he says about somebody that makes peace. Look what he says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called. They shall be called the children of God. Try to make peace. Try to make peace. Try to make peace in everything that's going on. Try to make peace. You don't look to stir nothing. You don't look to ruckus nothing. You just stand on the truth and you just go on what God's told you to do. He said, preacher, I don't know about that. If God's with you, he'll give you the ability to do that. But let me tell you how you got to be a peacemaker and how do you get to be a peacemaker. It can't always be your way. The person has always got to have it their way. They want it their way and they're always right. They're never a peacemaker. Because guess what? Peace is not going to come their way because they always want it their way. Jesus said the peacemakers shall be called the children of God. I see he was at the birth. I see he was at the baptism with Jesus. I see not only that, but he was at the Beatitudes on the mountain here when he gave the Beatitudes. God was there. But I also see this. He was with him at the breaking of the bread or the Lord's Supper. He said, preacher, you believe that? I believe that 100%. Matthew 26, 26. If you just look in the Bible, look down through there. Said, and when he took the bread, he blessed it and break it. He was there at the breaking of the bread. When he blessed it, who was he talking to? The Father. Said, and he took the cup, Brother Kelvin, and he blessed it and he gave it. Gave thanks. But I only see him there. But I see him at his burial. I seen him at his burial. I skipped a spot there on purpose. He was there at his death as well. But the only time that God the Father left God the Son was on the cross of Calvary. God is with us. The only time God the Father left God the Son was at the cross of Calvary. When he hung on that cross for you, me, and the sin of the whole world. When Jesus hung on the cross, he knew no sin, had no sin. But he hung there for you and I. And he hung there that we may have forgiveness. He took on sin, knew no sin, but took on sin, took on our guiltiness, our filthiness, everything we've done. He took it at the cross of Calvary. And he said, Father, forgive them. He cried out, Eli, Eli, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? The Son of God said, why have you forsaken me? Why did he forsake him? Because he drunk the cup. He drunk the wrath. He drunk it for you and he drunk it for me. He drunk it on the cross. He drunk it before he went there. And when he hung on that cross, no man hung him there. He hung himself. No man took his life. He laid it down. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. I see this. I see he was at the birth. I see he was at the baptism. I see he was at the Beatitudes. I do. Boy, it's all in there. I see he's there when they're breaking bread. You said he turned his back on him. Did he ever come back? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he come back. I see him at his burial. When they put him in that tomb, Jesus done told him in 3 days, I'm coming up out of this grave. Folks, there's no reason that we should live in defeat or in despair or not knowing what's going on because it's been written down. He's with us all the way. Turn with me, if you will, glory to God. He's there at the burial. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 28 this morning in verse number 6. Just in the book of Matthew here, talking about God is with us. Matthew chapter number 28 in verse number 6 this morning. I want to show you this. Matthew chapter number 28 in verse number 6. Here's what the Bible says. He was with him at his burial. Matthew 28 in verse number 6. And the Bible says, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He said, "Preacher, how'd he come up from there?" The Spirit of God brought Jesus up from that grave. Brought him up from that grave. Brought him out of that grave. Death had no hold on him. Death had no hold on him. Folks, I'm telling you what, this week when my wife's grandmother passed, it's been a long time since I've went back into view caskets and vaults and all these kind of things. And unexpectedly, she died Tuesday night right before revival, before we come into this place. She died and we took off over there. You know how you do with family. You know how you do. A couple days later, we went to pick out the caskets. And since I've been saved, I've not had to go, Sister Patsy, and pick out anything. When I was lost, my daddy died, and we did, and I had some grandparents die, but I was lost. I'd care less, right? I didn't know. I didn't have no hope. But I got to go pick it out, and we got back there. And Danny Ott's was telling them, "Hey, this casket is this, and this casket's that, and you can get up to $50,000 if you want to." Hello? And they got talking about caskets, and they got talking about vaults, and they got talking about all this. And he pulled the little veil back on one of them. And he said, "Now this casket's got a seal. It's got a seal on it. Black rubber seal. It'll protect the body." He said, "You get one without the seal. You don't have to have a vault. You can stick that body in the ground." And he said, "Without that seal, when it rains, water will run into where that body is. Water, mud will run in eventually over the years and will contaminate that body, will get into where that body is. But if you get one with a seal on it and lock it down, water and none of that can get in because it's sealed. Then you put it in a vault and it truly seals it." I'm standing there as a preacher like we do, just standing there listening. I ain't got a dog in this race. He walks out and said, "Y'all make y'all's decision. Whatever you think's fine, and I'll be back to see what you want to pick out." Listen to me. God is with us. I'm just standing there. They said, "What do you think?" I said, "If Mama was lost, I'd get one with a seal. If Mama was lost, I'd get one with a seal because she's going to need that body one day. That body. And that body is as awful as it is and what's going on in it right now. She's going to need that body one day. And I wouldn't want nothing to get to it because in hell, she's going to need that body. But glory to God, Mama's saved. Amen. She don't need a seal. She's not going to need that body. She's going to get a glorified body." Don't waste your money on the seal if you've been saved, because you ain't going to need that body anyway. Why? Because God is with us. God is with His people. He said, "Preacher, do you believe that?" I believe that 100%. Bet my future on it. If you're saved, you don't need that seal. You got the seal of the Holy Ghost. He said, "Preacher, I don't know if God's with me like that or not. There are so many dark days in my life, you ain't got a clue how dark it is. You ain't got a clue. I've got on that other path. I'm going another way. I'm not going the way I used to go. I'm going another way. I've heard the word preached. I've been preparing. I'm on the right way. But I just don't know if Jesus is with me all the way. I don't know if God's with me all the way. There are dark days. There's days that I just don't know." Can I say to you, the sun shines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The sun shines. The sun never quits shining. You say, "I don't believe that. It gets dark." Oh, no. No, no, no. I didn't learn a lot in school, but I learned a little bit. The sun always shines, never quits. Why does it get dark, preacher? The earth rotates. By the way, it's hanging on nothing. It ain't on nothing. He said, "Oh, in school it showed it was on a little thing." Oh, no, no, no. That's just for display, because they can't make it just expand out there by itself. But I got a God that can. Amen. Yes, by the way, it ain't holding on nothing. It's just sitting out. We're just sitting out here spinning around. God of the universe spinning us around, letting us have what we need. And that earth, that sun always shines, and that earth just turns around, Brother JD. And when it turns here and the sun's behind me, it gets dark where I'm looking. Then it comes on around and I see the sun coming up. I see the sun coming up. God is with us. This morning, if it's dark in your life and you can't see, the sun's still shining. You just might need to turn around. The sun's still shining. You just might need to turn around. You may have been turned away from the S-O-N, and you need to get turned back to where He is. He said, "Preacher, you believe that?" I believe that so much. There's things in my life that can turn me away from the sun. Can't take me away from Him, but can turn me. That can pull on me. that could drag me over here. So what do? Preacher, sun's still shining. The S-O-N is still a shining every day. He don't quit. He's always shining. This morning, if I'm talking to somebody, remember this. God is with us. God is with us. If it's dark in your life, make sure that you're turned toward the sun. It'll shine. It'll give you light. It'll give you what you need all the days of your life. As we went to that funeral yesterday, I knew I was going to get to preach to my family. Can I get an amen? I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to preach? He said, I don't want you to preach. I said, what? He said, I want you to sing. I said, oh, glory to God, what? God, you better be with me if I'm going to go. Hello? I said, God, don't do me this way. He said, you know that old redback hymnal you got in there in your office? I said, God, they gave it to me from Texas as a joke. It wasn't supposed to be sung out of. He said, go get it. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. I got that thing out. I looked down at it. He said, I want you to sing when the roll is called up yonder. What? Will you? Travis, will you be there? David, will you be there? Brother Lee, you going to be there? Brother OJ, you going to be there? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And I got that hymnal out. And I got to saying, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm a preacher. I'm not a singer. I got up there, Brother Harold, and I took that old red back hymnal. And I said, if I said your name on this obit, I want you to listen and pay good attention. God's in the house. God's with us. And I want you to answer a question. When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? We sung that song, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. Oh, glory. I'll be there. The only way you can be there is if God is with you. He's got to be in you. He's got to be living inside of you. I'm talking to people in here, he's told to go another way. Rory Parker, he's told you to go another way. You don't live the life you used to live. I knowed you before. You know me before. Testimony Rory gives, he said, I'm not going to listen to Brother BJ preach. I know the life he lived. I'm not going over there and listen to him preach. Man ain't changed. God told me to turn. Told me to go another way. And he said, when you get on that path, I'll be with you all the way. If I'm talking to you this morning and it looks a little dark, just turn toward the sun. It'll lighten it up. Amen. Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you and I lift up your name, not my name, but your name this morning. Father, this morning as I read that text that God is with us. You sent your son Jesus that we may have hope, we may have peace, we may have life, and we may have it more abundantly. Father, for that Christian I'm talking to right now, that it looks dark. It looks dark. Joseph seen how dark it was. Herod wanted to kill his son Jesus. He wanted to kill him. Lord, he wanted to kill Jesus. Lord, he knew what was being born of Mary wasn't of him. It was of the Holy Ghost. But he still protected him. Father, he didn't want that to happen. Lord, John the Baptist knew that when he preached Jesus, there was going to come a day that he was going to cut his head off. But he went on anyway. Lord Jesus knew when he was baptized, when he went on, that there was going to come a day that they was going to crucify him. But he went on anyway. Lord, whoever I'm talking to this morning that just needs to go on anyway and get on the right path, let them get on it this morning. For that Christian that says it's all, Brother BJ, it's dark, it's doom and gloom, let them look to the light. Let them look to the Son Jesus. Lord, bless this place. Bless the ones that's in here this morning. Bless the ones that couldn't come. Bless, bless, bless. Bless those that are peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Bless this place in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. I ask you to stand this morning.